buried body began to breathe and He overcame death. It doesn't matter what you're going through today, He can overcome that. Because death was the strongest, and if He can overcome the strongest, He can overcome anything else. I was watching somebody when we were singing, when we all get to heaven, and tears began to just run down her eyes. And all I could think about was this, Brother Johnny. My grandma and grandpa went to an old country church just like this. And I got to church one Sunday, and my grandpa was a deacon, but he got to stay in the pew that Sunday. And I got to stand beside him, Mountain Man. And they got to sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." And all I can remember is me holding my grandpa's hand. And we got to singing, "When We All Get to Heaven" together. And you know where he's at today? He's in heaven. And boy, I can't wait to stand right beside him again, hold his hand, and look at the face of Jesus and say, "We're here now." And we can just keep on singing for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but I sure am looking forward to being in heaven, being back with the loved ones that's already gone before us. But looking at the face of Jesus is going to be the greatest moment you and I ever have. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. And the only reason we get to go to heaven is because the Lord Jesus Christ overcame the grave. And I got to shout at my grandpa's funeral because that grave can't hold him either. Because it couldn't hold Jesus. Those that trust in Jesus, it won't be able to hold him down. I sure am thankful for heaven. And I'm looking forward to being there with all of you. We have a good time down here singing. And if there's a time where I'm going to run a lap, it might be today. Amen. I'm thankful for Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have everything else. He brings everything else with Him. I don't even know if I'm on. Praise God, I am. All right. Ephesians chapter number 1, I think. We'll be there this morning. My preacher said, if that don't crank your truck, I don't know what will. Your battery's dead. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll start something new this morning. Ephesians chapter number 1. Find your place in verse number 1. And we'll just read the first few verses of this Paul's letter to the church here at Ephesus. And what most scholars say is because the letter of Ephesians is really an impersonal letter, more than likely this is a letter that circled all throughout Asia Minor, which was right where Ephesus was. So this was going to a lot of churches that were in and around Ephesus. So Paul is writing this letter here to this church at Ephesus. And chapter number 1 and verse number 1 says this. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." And verse 7 says this, "...in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." And that's where we'll stop this morning. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ. You take the blood out of the Bible, you take the blood out of your songs, you don't have salvation. I'm thankful for the redemption that we find in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your presence in this place this morning. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and the death that He died and for the life that He lives, that we might come together and praise You today. God, we are absolutely nothing. We are nothing but a bunch of dust that You made. But God, You've given us the opportunity to know You, and You've given us salvation when You stepped down from heaven. And Lord, we thank You for dying for us. Lord, I pray today that as we open up Your Word to glorify You, I pray that You will be the only one that gets any praise. You'll be the only one that gets any glory, and You'll be the only one that anybody sees. I pray that You'll hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, thank You that You are so worthy today to be praised and to be worshipped. So God, we just worship You throughout the rest of this service and through the preaching. God, give us the gifts that we need. And I pray that You'll open our hearts to receive Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of my, besides Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday that we go through is Christmas. I love Christmas. The reason that I love Christmas so much is because my parents made it very special for me and my two brothers. Every year we would have gifts all around that Christmas tree. And most of the time my mom and my dad would put them out about the 10th of December. And boy, I'd find the biggest gift under there that had my name on it. And I'd start to thinking about what that was. Well, one year I can remember, I mean, there was a gift under the tree and it was bigger than my brother's, so I was already boasting to them that I'm going to get a better gift than them. But this gift bag, it was probably about this high, about this wide. And I was thinking, boy, that's a good one. And I went over to have my name on it. So I was like, boy, I can't wait till the 25th to get to open that. And what I found out was over the years, when my parents would put a big gift, a big bag, more than likely on the inside of it, it would be something small to fool me. Yeah, some of y'all do that. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And I didn't know that at the time. So Christmas came, I got that gift, and boy, I was excited. Well, I went to go pick it up, and I was expecting it to be heavy. Well, I picked it up, and it was about the weight of the bag. Well, y'all got me again. On the top of the gift was a card. I was like, well, great, you just put a card in there. But I opened up the card, and it was a gift card to my favorite sporting goods store to where I could go and get a new baseball glove or a new baseball bat. And boy, I was excited, even though it was a small gift card, that I could go buy a new baseball glove coming up. And I started walking around to my parents. I said, thank y'all for this gift card. And my dad looked at me. He said, son, keep digging. He said, there's more in the bag. So I got to the bag, and I got down to the bottom. I began to dig, and at the bottom was another envelope. And I opened it up, and it was a ticket to the North Carolina-Clemson basketball game. And boy, was I excited. That was one of the greatest gifts that I've got, because that game was a game that North Carolina beat Clemson on a buzzer beater. Still the greatest game that I've ever been to. And if you like me, you know I can't stand Clemson, and North Carolina just beat them that night, and it was one of the greatest gifts I've ever got. I want you to think about how horrible it would have been if I wouldn't have kept digging in that gift. If I wouldn't have kept going and getting and see what else was in that gift, and I would have missed that game, I'd have been madder than fire. But you know, when you and I got saved, God gave us a gift. God gave us the gift, and the Bible calls it the gift of salvation. But you know, when I was 12 years old, I got saved. More than likely, what I did was, if you're looking at it as a gift, I looked at the top of it. And I opened up the card, and it said, when you die, you get to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful when I die, I get to go to heaven. But you know what God said? Keep digging, son. He said, because when you got the gift of salvation, you did not just get a home in heaven, you got a whole lot more than that. There's a whole lot more that comes with salvation than just an eternal home in heaven. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The inheritance that you and I got when we got saved. Did you know the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus with a burden on his heart? And Paul often told the churches what he was praying for when he wrote to them. And one of the prayers that Paul had was in chapter 1, verse 18. Paul said this. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the inheritance of the saints. Paul said, I am praying that God will open your eyes to see how rich you are when you got the gift of salvation. Did you know Christians are the richest people on the face of the earth? Amen. The inheritance that God gave us in salvation. You see, but the church at Ephesus, they had received this gift, but they had failed to realize what else was in there. In other words, they were trillionaires walking around like they had nothing. And you know, so often you and I, when we get saved, some of us get saved when we're 12, when we're 30, when we're 50, when we're 70, it doesn't matter. So often what we do when we get the gift of salvation, we see it and we see we get a home in heaven, but if we fail to keep digging, we won't see what else God gave us in the gift of salvation. I already told you how awful it would have been for me to never find those tickets and for me to miss out on that game because I did not keep digging in that gift. But you know what's worse than me missing that? You getting salvation and missing what you got with your salvation. That is way worse. For you to be saved 50 years and never realize what came with your salvation. So the Apostle Paul's burden was that their eyes might be opened to see how rich they were when they got this gift. And my burden is the same thing for my heart and for your heart today, is that your eyes and your heart might be open to see how rich you are when you got saved. Because we got an inheritance when we got saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 1 of the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it contains, as verse 3 says, all the spiritual blessings which we have in heavenly places in Christ. And Brother Ben said something about punctuation in the Bible this morning. It's interesting because I think it's from verse 8 to verse 7 to verse 14. There's not a period in there. So these, I mean, you see it on Facebook all the time. People don't put periods in their sentences. But even here in the Bible, I mean, he's just going on. He was so excited about it. He couldn't wait to tell you all the gifts that you got when you got saved. Now, there's a lot of religions out there that don't believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. One God wrapped up in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you need to throw out Ephesians chapter number 1. Because Ephesians chapter one, number 1 tells you the Father thought salvation, the Son bought salvation, and the Spirit brought the salvation. Verse 3, verse 7, and verse 14. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. The Father thought salvation, the Son bought salvation, and the Spirit brought the salvation. That's the Trinity right there. Ephesians chapter number 1. But I want you to see in verse 3, I want you to look at it. The Bible says we got not some, but every and all spiritual blessings. When you got saved, He didn't hold back anything. He gave you everything. But look where they are. The Bible says they're in heavenly places in Christ. So these blessings are in Christ. But you know what else is in Christ? We are. Two things in Christ. Believers and blessings. And when the believer got in Christ, therefore you got the blessings that come with Christ. You've all heard the story about the old lady that died. She was the richest person in town. And she wasn't going to give away her stuff to her family or anything. She was going to have an auction at her home to give away all of her inheritance. Well, after she died, they were going to hold that auction that day, and they got together, and I mean, stuff was everywhere in her house, and the people were there to get her stuff. Well, the auctioneer got up there, and the first thing they held up was a painting. What the painting was it was a painting of this lady's son that she had painted because her son had died, and she wanted to paint a picture of him. And the first thing that auctioneer held up was that painting of her son. And they began to look at it and said, "We don't want that. Get to the good stuff." And some guy over here jokingly said, $5. They said, "Come on, man, just get to the good stuff. Nobody wants that painting." And there was a man in the back of the auction that said, "I'll give you $150 for it." They were like, "Oh, praise the Lord. All right, get this over with." The guy said, "All right, sold. Come up and get your painting." When the guy walked up there to get his painting, the auctioneer slapped it and said, "Auction's over." They said, "The auction's over. Look at all that stuff. Nobody's even got it." He said, "Yeah, but the old lady said this. Whoever gets the painting of the son gets everything else that goes with it." So that man that got the son got everything else. When you got the son, you got everything else. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today and maybe even next week if we don't have time to get into it. But I want you to see the first blessing that you got when you got in Christ was not only a home in heaven, but what I want to talk to you about today is you got adopted. You got adopted into God's family. Look at verse 4. Before I say this, there's a lot of implications that go with being adopted. A lot of them. And that's what I want to talk, just three things about being adopted today. Verse 4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." You know, if you're adopted, the first thing that really goes with that is that you were chosen. Verse 4 says that He has chosen us in Him. And there's a tragedy going on today in America that you already know about children. Children are being born into families that do not want them. Did you know that? Parents treat their children in a way that a parent should never treat their children in this world today, and it is absolutely sickening to me. And it ought to be to you. But children are being born into families that do not want them. I don't know what their parents taught them, but my parents taught me one thing. If you don't want children, all you got to do is one thing. And everybody knows what it is. There's a reason why God gave Adam and Eve clothes in Genesis 3. Isn't that right? That's the reason right there. But you know, today, that's just what's happening in this world today. But when you are adopted, you know what that means? That means that they wanted you. When you're adopted, that means that they chose you. When you're adopted, that means that you weren't unexpected. They wanted you, and they chose you. And there's a lot of people in here today that were probably adopted. My wife is including one of them. She was adopted into her family. And you know what that means? She was chosen by her parents to be her daughter, to be their daughter. And that is a great feeling to know that her parents chose her and they loved her before she could ever love them. But you know what's better? To be adopted by God. Because when God adopts you into His family, that doesn't mean that He does not want you, that He just puts up with you because He has to. That means He wanted you. And that means right here that He chose you before you could choose Him. And before you could love Him, He loved you. You say, why did He choose us? Is it because of what we did? Because of who we are? No. The Bible says He chose us for two reasons. Verse 4, He did it in love. And verse 5, He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, He did it because He loved us. In verse 5, He did it because He wanted to. We had nothing to do with Him choosing us. He chose us because He loved us. Not because we were lovely, but because He just chose to love us based on who He was. You say, when did all this happen, us getting chosen by God? You say, when I got saved, that's when He chose me. No. That's when you chose Him. You chose Him when you got saved. But when did He choose us? Verse 4 tells you. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Matthew Henry, one of the greatest theologians and commentators, he said, we have here the date of this act of love. It was before the foundation of the world, not only before God's people had a beginning, but before the world ever had a beginning. They were chosen in the counsel of God from all of eternity. And let me tell you what this does not mean. That God looked at certain people and said, I choose you to go to heaven and I choose you to go to hell. That's not what this text means. He gives us a choice whether you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. Everybody has the same exact choice, Jesus or no. He doesn't choose who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. He knows, but He doesn't choose. Everybody has to choose for themselves. It's not saying that. It's just meaning that in His omniscience, knowing that we were going to choose Him, He chose us to be His children. Now, you already know this, but did you know everything that happens in the future is already planned? The book of Revelation will tell you that. God has already showed you how this world is going to come to a close. It's already written down and nobody can change it. Everything that happens in your life tomorrow, listen, you don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. Amen. God holds everything in the future because He already planned it. You see, when did He plan all this stuff? God's not like me and Monica. When we want to go eat, we decide 30 seconds before. Where are we going to go eat? God already planned stuff, and the Bible says He planned it all before the foundation of the world. The Bible says plenty of times that stuff was planned before the foundation of the world. Let me just give you a few of them. The Bible says before the foundation of the world, heaven was prepared for God's people. Before He spoke anything into existence, He had already prepared heaven for God's people. Revelation 13:18 says the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. And that's interesting because before sin ever even entered into the world, God had already planned on sending His Son to die for our sins. So before the world was ever even spoken into existence, God had already prepared heaven for us and God had already made the provision for us to get to heaven. He already planned it. But you know what else was in the plan of God before the foundation of the world? You. You were in the plan of God before time, air, and space was spoken into existence. God was thinking about you. And I tell you that to tell you this. There are millions of people today who struggle with depression and self-image and what people think about them, whether their parents love them, whether anybody else in this world loves them. And I tell you that to say this. You may not think that anybody else loves you, but verse 4 tells you that somebody in heaven, before you were ever even born, loved you and He chose you. And if that don't make you feel special, Brother Johnny, I don't know what does. You may not be special in anybody else's eyes, but you are special in the God of heaven's eyes, and that's really all that matters. Because He chose you before you could ever even choose Him. He chose you. And He loved you. So to be adopted means that you are chosen. But secondly, to be adopted means that once you choose Him, you become a child. Verse 5 says, we are adopted of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now once we choose Him, that's when we are adopted as children into His family. And the same way being adopted carries so many implications with it is the same way being a child of God carries a whole lot with it. But we only have time for two of them. Being a child means you have an intimate relationship with your Father. See, I have a relationship with my Father that nobody else can have because I'm His child. You have a relationship with your Father that no other child can have because you are His child. And we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father like nobody else can have because we are His child. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, the Lord has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but He has given us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible says the same thing in Galatians 4. It says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father. So what does that mean? Those words are only three times in the New Testament. I just gave you two of them. Romans 8, Galatians 4. The other time is Mark chapter number 14. When Jesus is in the worst agony He's ever been in. And He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He falls on His face being in agony. And He said those words, Abba, Father. He said, all things are possible unto You. And He said, if You're willing, take this cup from Me, but nevertheless, not as I will, as Thou will. You see that? Jesus was the only one that could cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because Jesus had the most special relationship with His Father that nobody else shared. Because they were equal. They had been together for all of eternity, and now Jesus was about to go on the cross, and for the first time from eternity, they were about to be separated. And He's crying out, Abba, Father, because He had that special relationship with Him. But you know what the Bible says? God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son within us, and because Jesus, the one who cried, Abba, Father, lives within us, we too can have that same intimacy that Jesus had with the Father. And you may not have a father or grew up with one. When you become a child of God, you have a Father that loves you. And you can have a special, intimate relationship with Him whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. So number one, being a child means you get to share in an intimate relationship with God. But number two, it means you get to inherit. Being a child means you get to inherit some things. Romans 8:17 says, if you are children, then you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 4 says, if you are a son, then you are an heir. Now an heir, everybody knows what an heir is. It is a person that's legally entitled to the property or a rank of another on that person's death. Now in 2014, my dad drove down to Atlanta, Georgia and bought a 2014 Ford Mustang California Special White. It hadn't been drove and boy, that thing was nice. Well, he drove it home. I didn't know he was getting it. I walked out on the front porch. I said, Dad, go ahead and write my name in that wheel. I said, because them two brothers over there don't deserve this car. You give it to me. I've always messed with them about it. And I always thought I was going to get it, to be honest with you. But lately, there's a grandbaby come along now. My brother just had a baby. My brother's about to have another baby. My other brother's going to have a baby. I believe I'm out of that Mustang, Brother Johnny. But when you're a child of God, you become an heir of God. And that's one of the most amazing implications of being a child of God is you get to inherit from Him. You become an heir of God. Now, does anybody know the name Jennifer Gates? Jennifer Gates. Anybody ever heard of her? All right. Know who her father is? Bill Gates. Jennifer Gates is the daughter of Bill Gates. I looked it up this week on Forbes list. Bill Gates is the third richest person on the globe. You know how much money he's worth? $97 billion. I was talking to Monica about that on the way home yesterday. I wouldn't even know what to do with that. $97 billion. And now, when he goes, Jennifer Gates is in good. What? Rob Walton. Anybody ever heard of him? He's the son of the man who came up with Walmart. You know how much he's worth? $40 billion. That's how much Rob Walton's worth. That's not counting his brother and his sister. They got some too. In other words, when Rob Walton goes, he's got a son and a daughter, they're in for it good. But you know what's better than being an heir to Bill Gates and Rob Walton? Some of you are saying, not much. You know what's better than that? Being an heir to the God of heaven. Because their father might be rich, but our father's richer. Because you see, the stuff that they get, they only get it for a few years, and then guess what's going to happen? Death's going to hit them, and they can't take it with them. But you know what's good about being an heir to God? We might not have our riches now, but He's laid them up for us. And you never have to leave them once you get to heaven. Their father might be rich, but ours is richer. And they get to spend their inheritance, and they become an heir just for a short time, but we are an heir from all eternity. The wealth that they obtain is temporal from their father. But the wealth that we obtain from our father is eternal. And we become an inheritor of what God has given us. And He's given us so much, and we don't have time to go through the entire New Testament of what He's given us. We have an inheritance from our father. You may not have a lot of money, but if you're a child of God, you've got a lot. And you've got a lot more than money. The Bible says that we are adopted by God. That means that you are chosen. You are chosen by God. Before you could choose Him, He chose you. Before you could love Him, He loved you. But it also means that once we choose Him, we become His child, and we get to share in that intimate relationship with Him. Do you know that's what makes Christianity better than any other religion on the face of the world? Islam says you cannot know Allah because He's so high, He's so big, you can't even have a relationship with Him. Buddhism says you can't have a relationship with Buddha because you can't know Him. But Christianity says the God that created the heavens and the earth and stepped down from glory and died on the cross and resurrected and ascended back to heaven, you can know Him. They can't know their God. We can know our God. Because He became one of us. And we can know exactly what He is like. And we can share in that closeness with Him. We become a child. But thirdly, and I'll be done. To be adopted by God means to be chosen. It means you become a child. But thirdly, everybody that's ever adopted a child means that you paid something for them. You had to pay money to get them. In order to become a child of God, do you realize something was paid to get us? One of the spiritual blessings about being in Christ is not only adoption, secondly, it's redemption. Redemption means to buy. It means to buy. And verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The cost that He paid to buy us was not money. It was something far better than money. It was His life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And He has given us His blood to make an atonement for our souls, is what the Bible says. It came at a cost. And He shed His precious, pure, powerful blood so that we might be bought to God and become His child. You say, whose blood was it? It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood was it? It was God's blood. It was God's blood. You say, how can God shed blood? He's just a spirit. Because there came a time where God took on flesh and He took on blood and He shed that blood for you and me. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God. And the God in Genesis 1 that created the heavens and the earth, that created time, there came a time where He took up a body. And the price that He paid so that we might be saved was His own precious blood. And don't ever get over it. We hear it all the time, but don't ever get over the fact that we were bought, that we came at a cost. Redemption in the Old Testament meant that there was a slave in the slave market and nobody else wanted them. But all of a sudden, one day, there would come a master and he would have the money to pay for them and bring them home to himself. And what happened was that when nobody else wanted us, when we were a slave to our sin and when nobody else had anything that could buy us out of that slave market to sin, God had enough to buy us. And He was the only one that could do it. and He shed His blood that we might be saved. We're adopted by God. We're chosen. We become His child, but it also came at a cost. And I tell you this, and I'm done. When I became my father's child on October the 5th, 1993, there came a time where I became a teenager. And I probably did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. I probably said a lot of words that I shouldn't have said. Probably went places I shouldn't have went. But you know what? There never came a second that no matter what I did, I was never not my father's child. Do you realize that? It doesn't matter where I go, what I do, I will always be my father's child. And let me tell you something. Once you become a child of God, you will always be your father's child. Because you're going to mess up. You're going to say words you shouldn't have said. You're going to do things you should not have done. But when you are a child of God, there will never come a day in history or all in eternity that you will never be His child again. You will always be a child of God. And that is the next spiritual blessing that we find in Christ. Not only adoption, redemption, but eternal security in our Father. Because when the Spirit lives on the inside of you, He seals you. And He gives you a promise that you're always His. That you are always His. I don't know about you, but it sure is nice that when I got saved, I got a whole lot more than just a home in heaven. That might be the greatest, because it lasts for all of eternity. But do you realize in that gift that came, there's a whole lot more in that gift. And what I can tell you this week is dig. Keep digging. Open up this Bible and dig. Because you will realize when you got Jesus, you got a whole lot more. And you got everything that comes with Him. And I'll tell you this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus, you're poor. You don't have anything. But as soon as you get Jesus, you get everything. And you become the richest person on the face of this globe. You may not have a lot, and I sure don't have a lot. We've got a lot more than some other people. But when you get Jesus, you're rich beyond measure. And it's not something you got to go get. It's something you already got. You just need to realize you got it. We're rich today. And it's because of God's grace. Amen. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for adopting us as Your children. Thank You that You did it in love. You didn't do it because we were good people. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And we're all failures, God. But God, we sure are thankful that You loved us anyway. And that You sent Your Son to die while we were yet sinners and shed Your blood that we might be saved. And God, today I pray that if there's people in here that might be struggling with anything, God, help them to realize who You are and what You've given to them. And God, there might be people in here that's failed a lot in their life. But God, I pray that You'll show them that You've already gained the victory for us and that we can come to You for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank You for that this morning. And God, we just thank You for the riches that You've given us in Christ Jesus and for the grace that brought it down to us. And we love You this morning, Lord. And I pray that You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. If anybody needs Jesus, I pray today will be the day they come and receive Him as personal Savior. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.